Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where we have the biggest guests at the Super Bowl here on Radio Row. And I'm not just talking about the size, but I'm talking about the size of his heart. Orlando Brown Jr., yes, sir. Thank you for joining me again. This is becoming our own reunion at the Super Bowl.
It is.
Such
man.
A good thing
it
to
is.
See.
I'm very thankful and appreciative, man, to be able to share space with you.
Well, I love to share your wisdom and experience because you do have a really big heart, but you're engaged in everything you do. A lot of guys talk the talk.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Ohio guy.
Yeah.
You're Ohio guy.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, especially in sports, don't walk the walk. Yeah. How important is it for you to have follow through and be a man of your word off the field?
Yeah, it's really important, man. You know, I think when we talk about, you know, for me, I always use the analogy of lighting someone else's candle, being able to enlighten someone, share your perspective with them. It's important. And so that takes being able to be your genuine self, having sometimes deep conversations with people you may not know too deeply, and being able to be vulnerable. And so all those things are important to me, man, just getting to know someone and being able to share a positive light and energy in this world.
You know, that's aligned with who I am and what I believe. And in fact, my new book talks about removing toxicity and surrounding yourself with positive influences.
Yeah.
I had to use a kind of off-color title to sell the book called Don't Do Business with Dicks.
Yeah, but I love it.
The purpose of the book you're aligned with. How does that message, though, today with the younger kids, when you're talking about deeper conversations, enlightenment, positive influence, you know, a lot of people have different perceptions of a locker room.
Yeah.
Are you having deep conversations and enlightening conversations in the locker room today?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's probably where I've gotten the most comfortable doing it is in the course of a locker room, because although we are athletes, there are so many different walks of life.
That's what makes football so great, right?
It is.
Like, guys like me could actually be on the team if they were talented.
Exactly.
I'm not talented.
No, but seriously, but like, you know, you have the range of heights, you know, with our shortest guy on the
cultures.
Team. Cultures. I mean, 5'9". Exactly. Yeah. Different cultures, ethnicities, backgrounds, all of those different things. And so a lot of my conversations that I have from a vulnerability standpoint are in a locker room. And, you know, they evolve around finances. They evolve around relationships. They evolve around friendships or family, even religion. So all of those things.
We keep politics out of it?
Yeah. I'm not a big politician.
Nobody's touching politics anymore.
But it happens. It happens every now and again, man. It's always good for a good laugh, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what we should keep it as a good laugh as well. Now, as your career keeps progressing and the successes that you have, your priorities start to change a little bit. Is there anything that's surprising to you that you're prioritizing today that maybe when you started playing, you're like, oh, I'll never really spend my time doing that?
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up. I just had this conversation with one of my teammates last offseason, and they signed a really big contract, man. And you know, that was the base of our conversation, because your priorities do change. And so for me, you know, I think what I prioritize as a younger pro in this league, whether that be more lifestyle or my approach to my body, it was a lot different. You know, now I've got a full-time nutritionist. I see my physical therapist more often. I don't take as much time off. I train differently. I'm eating differently. And so what I prioritize today for my sport and my profession is so different.
And you've had great success early on as well. You've got to play in the Super Bowl and a variety of other things that some people never get to do. And one of the interesting aspects of this Super Bowl is you got two quarterbacks that it's their first time in a Super Bowl. And one of the things that haunts quarterbacks, and we worked with Cam Newton early on, Warren Moon and I, and we tried to coach him through because he was the best player in the NFL at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And he should have won that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it seemed as if he just couldn't get out of his way, because there's a difference in the game when you're playing a Super Bowl. No matter where you played college, how many awards you've won, you can't explain to a kid, and I've tried.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm a mindset coach.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we're going to do mindset-wise, but the minute you get into a Super Bowl, the air gets really thin.
Yeah.
And for you, that first Super Bowl, you know, did you have the nerves, the jitters? Was it different for you, or were you able, because of your family background and experience, to keep that calm ease that seems like you play with all the time?
Yeah, I'm such a big... It's so important for me to visualize, and I'm a big visualizer, and I spend a lot of time visualizing, good and bad, and worst case scenario, best case scenario.
You frame it.
I frame it. I frame it mentally, and I take time and do that, whether that's for practice. Most importantly, that could be a workout that I have, my workout on Monday coming up, or a game. I'm a big visualizer, so I spend a lot of time doing that. And for me going into that Super Bowl, I had played that game a million times in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I did it from the worst perspective. I did it from the best perspective. I'm thinking to myself, well, let's say I give up a sack on the first play. How do I respond? You know what I mean? Okay, all right, I play well first half, I get hurt. How do I respond? And so that's always my approach mentally to things, is how can I emotionally compartmentalize what I'm dealing with outside of this and apply that to what I'm doing on the field, but being able to visualize everything. So I was not nervous when we played in the Super Bowl, fortunately.
You didn't look like it.
Yeah.
I was right there, by the way. So you're awesome. One of the other things that I try to empower people with is sleep.
Yeah.
And young players may or may not believe
it's hard.
Uncle Dave, how important recovery and access and sleep is.
Yeah.
But as you're now maturing as an athlete, you talked about nutrition.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do breathing exercises, visualization. Have you had any help or coaching or given any extra intention as you got older to your sleep?
Yeah, so much, man. You know, that was something that, you know, my nutritionist that I hired last year really, really stressed to me, was getting as much sleep as possible. And the importance of the effects that it has on your body from a positive standpoint in terms of recovery, increasing testosterone, all of those different things that sleep naturally brings, man. It's as important as what you put in your body.
Yeah, your age, you don't have to worry about testosterone. Try to be 58, man. Oh, man. Anyways, too much information. We're okay. Don't worry. I've been married long enough. Looking after, you know, you're getting to the point in your career that, you know, we also focus in on what am I going to do when my first death happens. I'd say every football player has two deaths, no matter what level it is. When you stop playing football, it's like a death.
Yeah.
And now you can focus in on the rest of your life. We were talking about AI. Mm-hmm. Do you think AI is going to play an important role in your after playing days?
Yeah, man. You know, I think just kind of what AI has brought to the table is so unique. And, you know, I'm still doing research on it, man, but I think it's so cool that you're able to lean on things like that now to make a template. You know what I mean? If you're a YouTuber and you make YouTube videos, man, you're able to use AI to come up with ideas for things. And so, yeah, man, I think it's really such a special tool. And, you know, I haven't really thought what my life's going to be like after football yet. You know, I'm still really in it. And you know, God willing, I want to be able to do this till I'm 40 years old. So, but yeah, man, I mean, I imagine it's already a big part of my life now.
That scares me. How old I'm going to be when you're 40? This is going to be a hell of an interview. although Meets TV will still be here as well. So looking to that, process is really important. And you're starting to really understand the behaviors that you have. What interferes at your point in your career today in your life, there's always something that interferes. Like for me, I have a need to be offended.
Yeah.
It always interferes with my success.
Yeah.
Like somebody says something, comments on something, I'm like, I'm offended.
Yeah.
And then it takes some time before I can get back onto track.
Yeah.
What's interfering with your success today more than anything else?
Yeah, man. You know, I think for me, it is, for a while, what I really struggle with as a professional was, I think it's similar, like this idea that I needed to keep up with my peers around me. And this idea that, well, this guy posted on social media working out and I didn't, you know what I mean? I think for a long time, that was my issue, you know what I mean? And that held me back a little bit. And, you know, I think once I realized that I'm in the Super Bowl and these guys are at home, or, you know, I'm in the Pro Bowl and these guys aren't here, the same guys that were posting, you know, and I use that as a small example for whatever psychological issue that was for me.
Yeah.
That was what I think was holding me back for a while. And, you know, now I'm at a point in my adulthood where, you know, I try to focus on what I can control and what's important to me. And so, I can't necessarily get worked up by the opinions of others, which is always hard to do in today's world. You know what I mean? So everyone has their opinions and social media and all this stuff.
I'll give you a piece of advice. Other people's opinion are none of your business.
Yeah, that's real.
That's true.
That's real.
It's true. And true, you know, you're protected by people that may not like you.
Yeah.
Because if people listen to people that don't like you, then they're not going to like you anyway. So they might as well not like you and stay away from you.
Yeah.
And so I'm always trying to surround myself with those positive people. Who's one of the people today, whether it's on social media, a author, a speaker, one of those guys, who do you feel inspires you the most?
Wow, man. You know, I think for me, my boys, man, I have two sons. I got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. You know, they're probably my biggest inspiration. You know, just being able
to. Do they want to borrow my shoes?
Yeah, they might
want to. Oh, they're too small.
They do like Adidas.
Yeah, yeah, right. And they're the same size, but it's four.
but those, that's my inspiration, man. I think just seeing their faces when they come in the facility, in the stadium, going to football games, the questions they ask as they're getting older, especially my oldest now, that's my biggest inspiration.
You know, I have four kids, and one of the things that I wish my dad would have told me every day is advice that I give to young fathers as well, because I think it's one of the recipes for success. And people ask me about beyond, you know, these kids are super successful, but I have a great wife. But I've told them every day that three things: I love you, I'm proud of you, and I got your back.
Yeah.
And them knowing that, give them the confidence to make the decisions that they make. And even more importantly, to be themselves and make mistakes.
Yep.
They're not worried as much.
Yeah.
They are like you and I. We worry sometimes about what other people think.
Yeah.
But they're not influenced to the point where, oh, she said this about me and this. Because they know when they come home, I got their back.
Yeah.
And then I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as they do their best, learn lessons, and have fun. Do you ever have aspirations for your kids to play football? Because that's been a challenge for me. My son's playing football.
Yeah.
And it's like such a hypocrite. I'm like, I'd rather you play golf, man.
Yeah. You know, I for me, what's most important is them being healthy and happy.
Yeah.
And if it's football, it's football. If it's
I love that.
A space engineer, it's a space engineer. I'm gonna give them everything I can, whatever they choose. At 13 years old, I would tell you, I made the commitment to play football and go to the NFL. That was my mindset.
So
that was
focused.
My approach at 13 years old. And my dad told me, you know, hey, if you want to play in the NFL and that's what you want to do, you're going to have to make this commitment starting early. And so 13 for me was that turning point. And I haven't looked back since. And so once I get to that point with my boys, I imagine we'll have those talks at.
Well, let's be honest, at 13 nowadays,
yeah.
Your kids will be making more money than you off of NIL.
And no, I mean, it's crazy how it's working. It's crazy. No, it's crazy.
I know these collectives. Right. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was an agent at the wrong time.
Yeah.
There's no cap either.
Oh, my God.
Right? Like, I'm sure your agents go, what am I doing?
Yeah, no.
I'll sign your kids right now.
Yeah. Easy money.
At four.
Yeah, easy money for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Speaking about money, though, it comes a point where we've crossed the line. It used to be you didn't make enough money, and so you had to worry about it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're good, you know, money should not be an issue. It's not a matter of your agent and your family and all that. Like, the systems are in place, and as long as you are smart, you should have enough money to live the rest of your life if you're a good pro.
Yeah.
But money changes people.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest change for you?
Yeah.
You know, I know I had to go through, as you know, I lost everything. I had to go through a lot of maturity.
Yeah.
And I had enough to retire. I had over 100 million.
Yeah.
But I was an idiot.
Yeah.
But for you, is there one lesson so far in the change of your relationship with money, having the sense of security that you have?
Yeah, man. It goes back to my perspective. I'm so fortunate to grow up how I have grown up. And so, you know, my dad played for 13 years.
Yeah.
He's the highest paid player in the league. I learned.
He's awesome.
Yeah. I learned so much from just his lifestyle and how he was living and his approach with finances. And so, I can't necessarily say it's changed me, you know, because I grew up with it. I've been around it and I've just understood the power of it and just maintaining, you know what I mean? The lifestyle that was created for me from his hard work.
So
my perspective on that is unique in that way, man, where I wouldn't let it change me, and also understand, you know, the true value of it.
And to honor your dad, by the way, and I always have my mom's favorite quote, which is, you're either humble or you're about to be.
Yeah.
Is there a quote or something, that piece of advice that your dad gave you that still resonates with you?
Yeah. There's so many different things, man. And my grandfather would say this as well. But he would say to me, have a standard, don't have an idea. And so that's something for me that always has stood strong with everything, whether that be relationships, my approach to work, whatever it may be, you know, because the difference between a standard and idea is really far and strong.
Well, being blessed to have your father as a friend in my life, but to see and to know what he must feel like knowing what you're doing on and off the field and what an amazing man you have become.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's so proud of you on the field, but I guarantee he's doubly proud of you for the man you are off the field. And what I see and have witnessed, I'm blessed to call both of you my friend, and I can't wait to do more with you.
Yeah.
Let's do something before next Super Bowl. Yeah, what do you
please,
say?
Please, please, please. I'll be so down for that.
You're awesome, man. The incredible Orlando Brown Jr. We'll see him at the next Super Bowl. He'll be playing in it most likely.
Hopefully.
But if he's not, we'll see him here at Reach TV. Thanks for joining me.